Hello, my friend, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For the 10th day of March, I'm Paul. Thanks for joining me as we journey into the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, we've technically been in the passage that constitutes the story of the Good Samaritan for several days now because you have to deal with the lead-in, this question asked by the lawyer to Jesus in regards to what is the way to eternal life. And so Jesus says, how do you read it? And he quotes the Shema, the love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind. And then he adds, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you've answered right, do this and you'll live. Well, this wasn't enough. The man couldn't leave well enough alone. He has to then, as Luke says in verse 29 of chapter 10, seek to justify himself. He says, who's my neighbor? That leads to today's story, probably the most famous parable Jesus ever tells. I said the other day, right up there with the prodigal son, I kind of think this might be more popular because it has at least a cultural reference to people who don't even know where they're getting it from, the phrase Good Samaritan. We even use it as I think there's a charitable organization called Samaritan's Purse. We use it now because it exemplifies doing good for other people. You help somebody change a flat tire, you were a good Samaritan. You give somebody a dollar or two to help them finish paying for their groceries, they're a little bit short, you're a good Samaritan. We use it as a way of rewarding people for activity. It's not the way Jesus told it. I don't mean that's a terrible thing to say, good Samaritan. Fine, people understand what you mean. But here's what the story actually says. Let's read it. Top to bottom, we'll come back, and I want to do at least one thing today that I told you we were going to do, and that's show you a curveball the audience didn't see coming, and we miss it because we don't realize what Jesus is doing. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, and this, of course, is the response of the lawyer, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, we're going to camp out here for a couple of days in this passage that constitutes verses 30 to 37, the story of the Good Samaritan. In a nutshell, it's a easily relatable story in Jesus' day. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho was fraught with danger. Jericho's out in the middle of the desert. And the road there means you're moving farther away from civilization, and there's big gaps between those civilized communities, and so thievery was quite common. And so the audience has very little compassion. Well, they have understanding on the man because they've all made that journey, but they also think he's sort of walking into it because you're going down the road between Jerusalem and Jericho by yourself, you're kind of asking for it. It's a little bit as if Jesus would have said to them, there's a guy walking down an alley in a metropolitan city in the middle of the night, and everybody kind of knows where the story's about to go, and they can't help but think, well, that was stupid. You probably shouldn't have been walking down that road. And so that sets us up for how people are going to treat this guy that they find beat up in the gutter, because if he's robbed on the road to Jerusalem to Jericho, he's probably deserved it. And so the story then takes us into a setup of descending order, a priest and then a Levite. Now, the priests are the highest religious class of Israel. The priests are pulled from within the tribe of Levi. The Levites are a part of the greater body of the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's a hierarchical story. Priests at the tippy top, pulled from the Levites, the next guy that comes by, the Levites are pulled from the other tribes at large. They're within, embedded within the other tribes. So the story should go, a priest walks by, then a Levite walks by, then a layperson walks by. Because the crowd knows when you go from priest to Levite, and they tended to tell things in triads, in threes. So they know the next one. It would almost be like saying, lions and tigers and blank, oh my. Now, most of you probably went bears. Lions and if you've ever watched The Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You go to the next place because it's what comes next in the story. The priest, the Levite, the layperson. The curveball is that Jesus does not put the Levite or the layperson after the Levite. He puts a Samaritan. Now, why do we expect the layperson if you're a first century Jew standing there? Because you anticipate that the only guy that would care for the hurt person is you. This is how we read stories. There's the bad guy and the good guy, and I'm always the good guy. So if the story goes, there's a guy beat up, and we know that the setup is, who's my neighbor? Guy's beat up, priest passes him, doesn't help him. Levite passes him, doesn't help him. Who's next in the story? Layperson. Who am I? Layperson. Surely I'm going to help him. Why? Because I would help him. Why? Because I'm the good guy. See how this happens? Priest didn't help him. Levite. And we're used to this because we like the hierarchy, the powerful, the people above us. We like them to look like fools. And that's what the story is setting us up for. Priest, he's not as good as you think he is. The Levite, they're not as good as you think they are. Here comes the lay guy. He's going to do it. Instead, it's a Samaritan. Now, what would that have meant to the crowd? There's the curveball. Everyone's stunned. In fact, when Jesus then says, and a Samaritan come along, there was probably a gasp because he didn't say layperson, but he also didn't say anything else. He said Samaritan. That's very specific. Why is this such a big deal? We dig in right here. Tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.